Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. I'm going to use that as the text today for this sermon. So if you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame, and is set at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. Looking is an act. Looking is a verb that you have to look. It's an act. It's something that you have to do. The English word looking has really lost its meaning here. That's why we need to go to the Greek and see the true meaning, the full meaning. The Greek word here for looking is aphoro. This word comes from two Greek words, apo and horao. Apo means to off. Okay, and horao means to fix your eyes on an object. So apo means to off. It means in Greek, so the Greek word aparo means to turn off the eye from other things and fixing your eyes on Jesus. Off from the world and on Jesus. Okay, that's the Greek word. Now, looking to Jesus is not looking at a picture of Jesus or looking at an image, not looking with head knowledge, not a mere understanding of him, but looking at him with your whole soul in faith and in trust. We fix our eyes upon him with our whole soul, as he is the author and the finisher of our faith. In him there is salvation. As Jesus endured the suffering, shame, and punishment which were due to us, so we must fix our eyes upon him who endured the cross on our behalf. The wrath of God is upon you unless you fall at the feet of Jesus, asking for mercy and following in his footsteps. Saint Augustine, he read Cicero's works and he commended for the eloquence of Cicero's works. Then he said, this is what he said, and I'm going to quote, "They are not sweet because the name of Jesus is not in them." Every God-fearing pastor's goal is what? To nourish the believers with Christ's knowledge. And secondly, to promote holiness in their walk. To promote holiness in your private life. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. Apostle Paul said, "For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified." You may have to write it down. I'm going pretty fast here. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. "I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I have suffered the cross for all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." However, when you see these scriptures and compare to the world today that we are living in, and some of the people who call themselves Christians, there are many people who call themselves Christians only by name only, and they are external false Christians who are looking to him, but they don't see anything that they should desire of Jesus. They look to Jesus when they come to Sunday morning. They look to Jesus when somebody, when they hear about Jesus, they look to Jesus on their, they just get into a like a traditional Bible reading, and I did my duties, they look to Jesus. Tradition type prayer, oh, I did my prayers, then they go back to their sins, continue in their sins. But they had no desire in looking for Him. When they look at Christ, they don't see any beauty in Christ. They don't see the loveliness and the sweetness of Christ. Because, you know why? Because they get their sweetness. They get their sweetness and the beauty from the world. Look at the sinners. Look at these people. When they look, they don't see any desire of Jesus. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah 53 verse 2. Isaiah 53 verse 2 says, this is how they see Jesus. He had no form, no comeliness. When they shall see Him, there is no beauty that they should desire Him. So when they look at Jesus, there is no beauty that they should desire Him. But on the other hand, the true Christians who love the Lord, when they look at Jesus, they will mourn for their sins. They will be sorrowful for their sins. And they will cry for their sins. This is true repentance. In Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, the word of God says, and I will pour out on the house of David and in the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy. So when they look on Him, on Him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for Him as one mourns for and one mourns for their only child, and weep bitterly over him as one weeps over a firstborn. Here is the difference. When some people look at Jesus, they have no desire. The other people, when they look at Jesus, all their sins fall, come into the in the presence of an almighty holy God. Like Isaiah, when he saw God in His holiness, what did he say? I am undone, wretched, miserable. And the true repentance, true mourning comes with that. Other people have no desire because they get all their sweetness from the world. So there are worldly Christians who are looking for happiness outside of Christ. But for the true Christian, the only happiness is Christ alone. You know, think about a man, think about the church in Lactang, or think about the poor people, poor Christians in the other parts of the world. They don't have any worldliness to find happiness. They don't have anything. The only happiness they have is Christ alone. Christ is the sun and the center of our life. He is the object of our faith. He is our salvation. He is the rock where we can stand on. He is our hiding place. He is our comforter. When our enemies come against us, He is our hiding place. He is our comforter. He is the ladder between earth and heaven. He is the only mediator between God and man. My friend, are you looking for Christ? Are you looking unto Christ today? Are you looking unto Christ every day? Or are you looking unto the world for happiness? Christ, the very God of God, became man, and He is called the Son of Man. We who are pitiful, wretched, miserable creatures made out of dust became the sons of God. And by grace alone that happened. Are you experiencing that grace today? Are you experiencing that grace in your life? Now think about the angels. Think about the angels in heaven. They are holy, they are without sin, and they do not need salvation. They don't need forgiveness. They don't need justification. They don't need the gospel to be saved. But yet, I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter. 1 Peter It says here, it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels were looking. And here the angels in heaven who does not need salvation, yet they were looking unto these things. They were prying unto these things. They were peeping to these things. They were desiring for these things. How about you? Angels who had no sin, they don't need salvation. Here they are prying, they are peeping, they are desiring for these things. How about you who are sinners saved by grace? Are you looking unto Christ? Christ is excellent. He is sweeter than all the things that the world can offer you. Many are going after the world to find happiness. The highest and the pinnacle of Christians' happiness is Christ, Jesus. And this is our duty, to look unto Jesus. We receive our greatest joy at the foot of Jesus. Remember Mary and Martha, one was so joyful at the foot of Jesus. Listening to his words is the greatest joy. 1 John chapter 1 verse 4, John said, "And these things I write unto you, that your joy may be full." There's nothing can fill your joy. Nothing can fill your happiness. It's only the word of God. It's only His word that can fill our joy. Nothing else. The world and the false Christians want to see something so they get happiness. They want to feel something to be happy. So they get their happiness not by faith, but by sight. We who have not seen Christ, yet we love Him. That is our joy. We haven't seen Christ, yet we love Him. 1 Peter 1:8 says, "Whom having not seen, you love. In whom through now we see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy and unspeakable and full of glory." Wow! This is joy. This is happiness. This is unspeakable glory. Are you turning your eyes off from the worldly things that are set before and fixing your eyes upon Jesus? That's the question. Some of you who are listening to this sermon are entangled with worldliness, with sin, with pleasures of this world, and you're getting choked in this world. And some of you cannot be without television. And your eyes are gazed and fixed upon TV rather than Jesus. On Hollywood stars. And look, just imagine those Hollywood stars. Their lives are an abomination to God. The media is sneering at Jesus. Sneering at true Jesus, I would say. And they are full of pride. They are shaking their fists at God. They are hurling dung at Jesus. They are mocking Him. Then how you call yourself a Christian, adore and watch these Hollywood movies? Tell me if you can. And is this happiness to you? Then later, you shut off the TV and read your Bible as if nothing happened. No conviction at all. How can you walk with darkness and light together? Tell me. How can you walk with light and darkness together? Genesis chapter 1:4 says, "And God saw the light, and it was good, and God divided the light from darkness." Light and darkness cannot be together. God saw the light and divided it from darkness. We Christians had to be, there has to be division from darkness. And if you come from the darkness, Before you were into these things, now you are brought from the darkness to the marvelous light of Christ Jesus. There's a division there. And the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14, what communion has light with darkness? In Luke chapter 16 verse 13, Jesus said, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. What is the favorite sins or the pet sins, the darling sins of the so-called Christians today? I did some research and found out it is television. Enjoying, watching, lust, perversion, ungodliness, unholiness, impurity, enjoying this lust is an abominable, is a grievous sin. Holy Spirit is being grieved. God, Jesus, God and through Jesus, Christianity and the Bible is being mocked and scorned by the media. How can you watch? Even those supposed to be good channels are attacking the Christian values, true Christian values. Instead of looking to Jesus for sweetness and happiness, people are looking for TV for their happiness. That's why they have no desire for Jesus, because they are getting their sweetness from the world. When a movie or a TV show presents us with mild profanity, an occasional adulterous affair, or just a limited amount of violence, many of us would say, that's not that bad. It's okay. Little poison is okay. A little poison every day, a little by little, accumulates. This is your measurement, because you say, that's okay. But what about God's measurement? There were no movies, just think about it. There were no movies or cinemas or TV during the time of the Puritans. Great preachers, during the time of great preachers like Spurgeon, there were no movies, no cinemas, no TV. But they came heavy on worldliness, very heavy. What if they are living today? How would they react? What will be their opinion today if they are living today? Brothers and sisters, we used to be Armenian church. Armenians, and we had worldliness in our practical ways, but we are reformed. We are reformed. The book of Jeremiah says, Jeremiah told the Israel, Judah, reform your ways and your actions. And we are reformed. We don't go back to those ways what we believed before. What will those Puritans and great preachers like Spurgeon, if they are living today, what will be their opinion? How will they react? Let me give you a quotation of Spurgeon. Even there was no TV during his time. This is what he said. Flee all sin without exception and follow after everything that is pure and holy without exception. Others wallow in what they call the pleasures of sin, abhor such things, and protest against them. Protest against them. Shun also everything that is doubtful. If it is doubtful, you shun away. For whosoever is not of faith is sin. If you are not sure it is right, it is a sin to you. Avoid the appearance of all evil. Where does that say in scripture? avoid appearance of all evil? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 22. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Now I did a Greek study, word study on this, because I wanted to see what it really means. So the word appearance, when it says abstain from all appearance, so the word appearance in Greek is eidos, which means appearance of any form of evil, or any shape of evil, or any fashion of evil. The root word of eidos is eidou, or oida, which means to see from your eyes. It means to understand from your senses. It means to observe from your eyes and to see from your eyes and paying attention and then cherishing. Doesn't it look like TV? Watching from your eyes all appearances of evil, and how those people mock at God. They have no they hate God, those people, and here we are watching. Avoid, that's what he says. And 1 John put this so beautifully in scripture, in 1 John chapter 2 verse 15, as for John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, then he goes on to say, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes that you see, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he who does the will of God abideth forever. Brothers and sisters, what God calls the lust of the eyes and the sinful cravings of the heart are typically portrayed today by worldly Christians as harmless sins. After watching those movies and dancing and entertainment, have you become closer to God? Yes? No? Negative? No, absolutely no. After watching those, do you glorify God? After watching those movies and dancing and entertainment, do you have a thirst and a hunger and a desire for Jesus? After watching those worldly things on TV, my question is, are you growing in holiness towards God? Are you? Answer these honest questions. Don't just sit there and watch at me. Don't compromise, because you're fighting against God. You can never win. God cannot be mocked. It's the TV. If the TV is causing you to sin, dump the TV in the trash can. That's my advice. Yes. If anything in this world is causing you to sin, dump it. Cut it out. Because Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 5 verse 29, Jesus said, and if the right eye offend thee, that means if your right eye is a cause for sin, looking at things, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. So it's more profitable to cast your TV into the trash can, for you to go to heaven, rather than have the TV and go to hell. If that is going to bring sin into your heart. And if your right eye is sinning, take it out, Jesus said. It is more profitable for you to go without the right eye to heaven, or with all your both eyes to hell. Jesus was pretty strong, right? Television is like a great river with different channels flowing into different rooms. Living rooms and bedrooms with high definition today. The world makes their decisions, their values, and their goals based on this river of filthy water. That's how they make their decisions, their goals, and their values. It's what the television says, what the media says, not what the Bible says. The Bible says, do not conform to this world. But people make their decisions on what the TV says. If the TV says something, they are right and you are wrong. And many Christians are buying into this because they are not getting into the Word of God. They have no desire for Christ. The parents put their kids in front of the TV. So don't disturb me. Look and watch the TV. That's how they get their education, from a filthy, dirty, polluted water that can destroy and damage the souls of the kids. What's happening to this generation now? You look on the news. Look at the newspapers. What's happening? Because the TV is their educator. It's the TV is the one that makes the decisions, values, and goals, and morality. Not what the Word of God says. Romans chapter 13 verse 14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh or to gratify its desires. My friends, walk in boldness. Walk in the Spirit of God. Avoid every appearance of evil and do not conform to this world. Stand up for the truth. Live near to Christ and don't live near to the TV or to any worldly things. And stand up for Christ. Walk in truth. Walk in boldness. Defend Christ. Do you get convicted when you look at the delicacies of this world? Or are you enjoying the happiness of this world? Does the TV or any other worldly entertainment bring great happiness to you? Or does it bring any conviction to you of any sin? Do you mourn over your sins? Or do you weep bitterly over your sins? If you are a true child of God, you do. You will mourn. It will convict you. But if it's not, then you are not a true child of God. You're just a hypocrite. When you hunger is for the things, other things. That's what the book of Hebrews we saw, looking at Jesus. What? Putting off all the other things. Then look to Jesus. You got to get rid of all the other things looking at. That means the things that are going to be sinful in your life. Otherwise you cannot look to Jesus. You will not grow. You will not be conformed to His image. So when your hunger is for the other things than our Lord Jesus Christ, what happens to your sanctification? It slows down. Or you may not grow at all. You know, there are some Christians who have been there for 15, 20 years, but they haven't grown anywhere. They are still in their diapers, crying. They don't understand anything. Which means some are probably saying they are Christians. They are not Christians at all, which means you are only a Christian by name. Look at Hebrews 12:1. Hebrews 12:1. Says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There is a road that is set before us. and we are to run the race. And we have a great multitude of witnesses who have gone before us. And who are these great multitude of witnesses? The Old Testament saints, the reformers, the Puritans, and the other saints. They have gone before us. For every Christian, since you are born to this world until you die, you are running a race. And that race, you had to look at Jesus Christ to run the race. You had to fix your eyes upon Him. Because these Old Testament prophets and the other godly men, they have set an example in running the race. And we saw them reading the book of Hebrews chapter 11. How they were poor, destitute. I mean, they were in goat skins. They were in the wilderness and they were living in caves. They were not living in nice, comfortable homes. They didn't have microwaves or comfortable places to live, comfortable bed and everything else, all the luxuries. They were living in caves. And some, because they were told the truth, what happened? People stoned them. They don't want to hear that is true. And some were cut into half. But yet, they were not looking for happiness here on this world. They were not looking for a home here. They were looking for the promise that God already promised them. A city that is in heaven. The heavenly city. So here, we too. Are we different than Moses? Are we different than Elijah? Absolutely not. We had the same Holy Spirit that they had. So here, we are set, there is a road that is in front of us. We are to run and fix our eyes on Jesus, look to Him. And we are to run the race. The hindrance and obstacles in running the race is what? Sin. 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 It says the weight of sin. The weight of sin will slow you down in running the race. The weight of sin. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. The weight of sin will slow you down. In this race, Satan will put all kinds of things in front of you. And your flesh is the greatest enemy. And the world will tempt you of the delicacies and the pleasures of sin. And it will be in front of you. So when you run this race, and many people are running this race, but when they will stop the race, when they see the delicacies of the world, and the sweetness of the world, and the pleasures of the world, and when they see this, they will stop the race. And they will enjoy those delicacies. They will enjoy the pleasures of sin. And what happened? It is either slow down, and or they will never grow. They will never run. In this Christian race, let me tell you, in this Christian race, there are winners and losers. Winners are the ones who ran the race, who endured to the very end. And the losers are the ones who stopped and enjoy the pleasures and the sweetness of this world. And they will never grow in holiness. They remain the same as they are entangled with sins of this world. They do not see the loveliness and the sweetness of Christ. Christ Jesus and the Bible is so boring to them. It's boring to read the Bible every day. I don't see any happiness in Bible. It's boring. You know, I don't want to be, you know, I like to see the things of the world. When you talk of godly things, they have no interest at all. But if you talk about worldly things, they become alive suddenly. Because they are dead to Christ and alive to the world. they are not startled or alarmed at the appearance of evil. It will not break their hearts as they are used to their heart, because their hearts are so callous. They have no feeling because the hearts are callous with sin and pride. They will not feel any sorrow for their sins. Every day they are sinking deeper and deeper into hell. Oh, they must be living in so comfortably. They don't feel anything. I'm not sinking into hell because I got a good security account. I got all the wealth and I have everything. I'm standing pretty good. Spiritually, anytime they can die and end up in hell. Remember, in Pilgrim's Progress, I know everybody have Pilgrim's Progress because Brother Andy gave everybody one. And when Christian was taking the narrow road, two men joined him. And their names were Formalist and Hypocrisy. The Christian asked them, "Where did you come from?" And they said, "We were born in the land of vain glory." Yes, my friend, pride is an abomination to God. Are you one of them that is full of pride and born in vain glory? Or are you born of God? Do you don't want to be humble at the foot of Christ, but you're always fighting with the word of God and against God, filled in pride and worldliness? Christian saw these two men did not enter through the narrow gate. They did not enter through the narrow gate, but they took a shortcut by climbing the wall and joined the Christian. Now Christian asked them, "Why you did not enter through the narrow gate?" And their answer was, "It's too far." Yes. Many don't want to go through they don't want to enter through the narrow gate. You know why? It's too difficult. It's too tough. It's too far. Hypocrites love the crown, but they do not want to carry the cross of suffering. They do not want to crucify their flesh. They love their pet sins. They have no desire to crucify the world and the pet sins, but they want to go to heaven. They do not want to cling to Christ in holiness, but they want a shortcut to heaven. They are clouds without water, trees without fruit, twice dead, ready to be plucked out and rooted and to be thrown into the fires of hell. True Christians can overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, as He is the center of our life. They will not love their lives, but they will love Christ more, because He is the one who redeemed my life. He is the one who purchased my life. He is the one who took the punishment that was due for me, so I will love Him more than my life. Revelation chapter 12 verse 11 says, "And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Unto death. When you are a Christian, you leave behind all what you loved before, and now Jesus becomes your sweetness. He is the pinnacle of your happiness. Once you are in Christ, do not look behind to the world anymore. The angel said to Lot in Genesis 19:17, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed by the fire, by the wrath of God. Don't look behind. Once you look at Christ, once you look at the cross, once you fixed your eyes upon Christ, don't look behind to the world, what you loved before. That's what the word says in the book of Hebrews. Looking to Christ means shutting off, not looking to the things of this world that desires you, but shutting them off and looking to Jesus. Do not go back to the flesh parts of Egypt. Look to Christ and look upward to heaven instead of downward to this world and to hell. If you belong to heaven, you will think of heaven. If you belong to Christ, you will think of Christ. If you belong to this world, you will think of this world all the time. Simple as that. You don't need to be a mathematician or a rocket scientist to know that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. One day it's going to be dust, as God is going to burn everything. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Eternal. My friend, look to the King in His beauty. Look to the one seated on the throne. Look to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Look to Him who is altogether lovely. Look to Him so you can grow into His image. Look to Him only and flee from the world and run to Jesus. And if you do not know Jesus today, and you have been living in a hypocritical, sin-loving, worldly pleasure hunting and loving the pleasures of the world more than Christ, I beg you to fall at the feet of Jesus and ask for mercy. Because what I am saying today, you will remember if you don't want to ask for mercy. By any chance, God forbid, if some of you who are hearing this sermon will go to hell, you will remember for eternity what came from this pulpit. And this is seriousness. This is not an education, what I'm giving you. This is not a class. This is the truth of God that I had to say. I wish I can tell you some sugar-coated nice things and say, it's okay to do this, you know, God understands. I can do that. But what does the Bible say? I got to tell what the Bible says. Not what I like to say. Not what you like. Not what you like to hear. I had to tell the pure, unadulterated Word of God. That I am accountable to everything what I say. And now, you are accountable to God, what you heard. Amen.